This is the last stand on earth.
And hour two today on Across America with Gary Freeman. Glad to have you with us today. We meet here every Saturday afternoon from 1 to 3 p.m. right here on AM 650 KGAB. Or for those of us, for those of our listening audience that listen to us on the World Wide Web, the address is KGAB.com. Hit the live stream. Tell a friend all about us. Or if you want to be connect with us on Facebook, just simply type in Gary Freeman and or Across America. And we'd be glad to see you there. If you want to be on the program today or you have a question or comment, 632-6500. If you are in the coverage area, once again, that's 307-632-6500 or 1-888-503-6500 for those of you listening outside the coverage area. And for those of you that are outside the state of Wyoming and Cheyenne, we're glad to have you with us as well. Well, our next guest, it's a topic that each and every one of us as parents will either have to face, or we as parents have faced, or we, whenever we were children, faced it with our parent. Now, you have to ask your question, for those of you that have teenagers, and no doubt this has run through your mind, could your teen be having sex? Oh, I haven't thought about that. I'm sure you have. Is your daughter's boyfriend pressuring her to go all the way? Does your son think he is the Don Juan of the high school campus and think that everybody's doing it? Well, parents know they have to talk to their kids about sex, but often they put it off until it's too late. But the topic is way too important to your child's health to ignore this or to bungle it. And our next couple guests want to talk about the no blushing, no stammering way to get the job done right. I'd like to welcome to Across America our next guest, Dr. Jane and Dr. Richard Horowitz. Welcome to Across America, doctors.
How you doing, Gary? Good to be here.
We're glad to be here. Thanks.
We are glad to have you here. Well, the question has been asked, why culture more than hormones moves kids into earlier sex nowadays? And I think a lot of parents are lost. We have a Kids at Risk program that we do here at 7 o'clock on Friday morning. And sometimes we deal with some of these issues. But, you know, doctors, it's one thing to talk about it, but it's another thing to take a look at it and come up with solutions about it. So why don't you let us know what can they do when they're faced with this big question?
Well, one of the first things they have to do is that just remember, as much as we'd like to wrap our kids around with styrofoam and kind of shield them from what everything that's going on in the world, it's not going to happen. And the reality is our kids today are exposed to just so much between explicit TV shows that are now on regular TV. You know, there's stuff on regular TV that used to have to go to an R-rated movie or see a late-night cable is now on primetime. What's the tremendous amount of sexuality that's in advertising? So our kids are bombarded with so much information and so many images of sexuality that there's no way we could protect them by keeping it from them. So the first thing we have to do is accept is I'm not going to be able to shield my child from everything that's coming in. Okay, if I can't shield them, then how am I going to arm them, and how are we as a family going to deal with that? And also, that additional exposure has brought down the issue of sexuality to a lower age level. We now know tweens and pre-tweens, these kids, the clothing that they're wearing, trying to look sexy and attractive before they even know what it's all about. That's part of the culture. So those are all the challenges that a parents face when they deal with the issue of sexuality.
Right. It really kind of puts our teenagers and tweenagers at a disadvantage because of the fact they have all these hormones racing, they have all these things going on, and then you have society now that's more of an in-your-face, whether it's commercials, whether it's primetime, saying, well, this is how you feel. Now it's okay to do it because these folks are.
No, that's exactly right. So as a family, you're faced with an enormous challenge. And that's why one of the things we talk about is don't wait for the talk. You really have to be in a position to have constant dialogue with your children from a fairly young age. And in our program, Family Centered Parenting, we talk a lot about having family meetings as a regular part of family life. so that you begin to talk about these issues in a natural way as they come up in the life of the family and not wait till that, oh, my God, I have to have the sex talk now.
Unfortunately, you know, if you wait for some of these hot topics until you think is the appropriate age, these kids have already been thinking about it long before that. And we need to have our kids talking to us and with us at a much earlier age than, teenagers. Because once they become teenagers, you know, if you haven't been talking with them, if you haven't gotten them used to talking with you, it's so much harder to get them to open up.
Well, it's kind of like paying taxes, you know. I think parents realize, well, this is something I got to do. And some of them put it off till the last minute. And God bless my dad. He's a great guy and very fair growing up. But I remember he came into my bedroom one day and he kind of hem-hawing around, and he was a little bit on the shaking. It looked like the old boy was just sweating bullets, you know. And I knew where he was going with this. And, man, when he brought that up, what he wanted to talk about, he said, well, you know, I want to talk to you about sex. Man, I shot that dog out of the water quicker than you could say, come on, Dad, what are you talking about? And then, you know, man, no doubt that made him feel even maybe a little more insecure.
Sure.
So rather than waiting around and having these sex talks, Dr. Jane, what's a good age maybe to begin to introduce some of this? And how? Maybe kind of in a light way. I know some kids' parents, you know, look at her, melon's on her. You know, that's their way of communicating it with their child. But what are some of the ways that you found to be successful, and at what age is a good time to start?
Well, believe it or not, probably around the age of 7 and 8, you need to start introducing some things that are age appropriate. You know, you're not going to talk about all the intimacies of, you know, a married couple with a 7 or 8 year old, but you have to start talking about the human body and the things, you know, factual things, and also what they are seeing on TV. If you have a 7 or 8 year old watching a television show and there's, you know, sexual things going on there, you need to talk with them about that as to what's appropriate for your family values. And that's one of the most important things, is to have what are your family values and have that in an open discussion ongoing regularly with your family, with whatever situation comes up. Because once you establish your family values, it's so much easier to talk about any of the hot topics that come up.
And that's very important, and there's no one set of values. We're not saying abstinence is better than, you know, a lot of birth control information, whatever. Whatever you believe in your family as the right way and the way you want your children to deal with their sexuality, start early, start communicating those values, using those values, as Jane mentioned, to compare your value system with what you're seeing in the media is a very, very important way to go. And, you know, we have to tell our kids, we call those private parts for a good reason. They're supposed to be private. So that's some of the stuff you talk about with your children when they're younger, the basic biology, your private parts, safe touch, those kinds of things. Then as they emerge and get a little older and hit the preteen years and really start becoming aware, then you start getting into the subjects of intimacy and sexuality and what's appropriate.
I know when back in the 80s, Betty White was kind of doing some what we call PSAs, or public service announcements, mm-hmm. and it was about a little mouse. And basically, the mouse had gone to her uncle's house and had touched her inappropriately. And so Betty White would get on there and say, boys and girls, if an adult or a family member touches you where your bathing suit covers, I remember that. She said, where your bathing suit covers, then you need to go and tell somebody. So, yes, it is age appropriate on what you need to use. I know I have a 3-year-old daughter. When I'm going to the bathroom, she likes to come in there and see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And she's intrigued with the fact that I make more bubbles than she does. So, you know, and I try to turn and have some privacy, but, you know, kids are always inquisitive. But I think stretching condoms out to a kindergartner and strapping it on to a cucumber, I just don't think that's the right age to be doing that in the public school system. It's something that should be doing at home. So, Dr. Richard, let's take you. Let's say that a parent's struggling with this and is trying to come up with some really good ideas to introduce this to their 7 or 8 year old. Do you all provide that in your book, Family Centered Parenting?
We talk a little bit about it. We talk about really the structure of having the family meeting. And when you have regular family meetings, that some of them are problem solved, some of them are about setting rules for the family, and others are just, let's have a discussion today, or let's talk about what you're seeing, what's happening in school, what's going on with your friends, talking about a TV show. And if you have, again, as Jane mentioned before, if you've created the habit of having good open dialogue with your kids and having good meaningful conversation with them, these things start to emerge kind of organically at an early age, and you don't have to worry so much about the starter. Also, you know, all of us who have kids, you know, there's a myth out there about having quality time. Frankly, our experience with kids is you don't know when quality time is going to come up. Sometimes you could be just riding in the car doing an errand, and it could be turned into a fantastic conversation because something just triggers that kind of talk. So parents have to be ready and aware, and when there's an opening, just jump in and have that conversation, and it's amazing what you could do in what you would normally think are rather informal times.
We're talking with Jane, Dr. Jane, and Dr. Richard Horowitz here on Across America. And your phone calls and more from their book, Family-Centered Parenting, The No Blushing, No Stammering Way to Get the Job Done Right, about talking to you and your teen or tween about sex. We'll be back right after this. And it's 20 past the hour. You're back with Gary Freeman here on Across America on a Saturday afternoon. Glad to have you with us. And on the phone with us, we've been talking with our special guests and authors of Family-Centered Parenting, Dr. Jane and Dr. Richard Horowitz. Welcome back to Across America, doctors.
Yep, we're Gary.
Well, how come there's no such thing as once and done?
Well, because the subject is, as we've said, is so extensive, the exposure in the media, kids having to make choices on almost a constant level of how to behave and how to react and how to put their family values first. So just doing one quick conversation is not going to cut it. Our kids need to be armed with the right kinds of answers. You know, we talk a lot about rehearsing with your kids before a situation occurs.
Explain that. Explain that rehearsing.
Well, let's say, for example, your 13-year-old is staying over at a friend's house, and you know, the parents aren't around, and one of the kids smuggles in a bottle of vodka and offers your child a drink.
Oh, that doesn't happen, Dr. Horowitz.
Oh, really?
Come on.
Where do you live?
Man, I live in Cheyenne. You telling me that really goes on? I'm joking.
Go ahead.
I just had to throw that in. But anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, there's your child, and he's in front of his friends, and, you know, he might know, gee, I shouldn't do this, and my parents don't approve, but I'm going to bind, I'm going to pickle, my friends are really putting pressure on me, and I'll take the drink. But if you beforehand, in your family meetings, have had a discussion and say, you know, Larry, what would you do if you were over at your friend's house and somebody offered a bottle of vodka? And, you know, in our family, we don't believe in drinking, and especially underage, whatever. How would you handle it? And so you go through with Gary some lines. And so that Gary, maybe, you know, to a little bit of role-playing, comes up with, how about a retort like, man, you know, that's not cool today, or I got to play ball in the morning, some line so that when Larry then all of a sudden is in that situation, he could retrieve something that he's practiced. And we all know that anything we visualized or rehearsed mentally, when we're in that situation, we're more likely to retrieve. So that's an example of how we could rehearse our kids for various situations that they're confronted with, especially from peers.
Dr. Jane, what's some of your ideas for role-playing, maybe from a female perspective?
Well, you know, in some ways, it's a lot harder for girls, partly because of all the images that you see of, you know, what's in style for dress. And the girls want to dress, you know, in style. They don't want to wear their mother's clothes or outdated things. So, you know, and what you see are sexy dresses and, you know, so to having conversations with your daughter of what's appropriate to wear and talking about what she can wear, what she wants to wear, and, you know, what would be great and stylish but not over the top to be, you know, too seductive for the particular age. So, again, it's the talking up front. It's, you know, letting her go shopping to pick out things that she wants to wear, but also being open enough and talking with her about what that would portray if she happened to wear a specific outfit. And that sometimes, you know, that can lead into, you know, some battles. And, you know, the girl is going to want something that the mom doesn't want her to have. But, you know, talking ahead of time about what's appropriate, again, you know, as Richard was saying, in the family meeting, talking ahead of time what the family values are, you know, what's appropriate, talking just before you go shopping so you don't run into a temper tantrum by anybody, you know, whether it be a 2-year-old or a 13-year-old, and then being able to have an enjoyable experience and getting something that she wants to wear that would be, you would be comfortable in her wearing and she wants to wear as well. So again, it's arming them ahead of time as to what is appropriate, what they feel good with, what the family feels good with.
You're on with Dr. Jane and Richard Horowitz. Welcome to Across America. Go ahead.
Hey, Gary, it's your favorite Cheyenne teacher, Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, my buddy. I'm doing great. I'm doing swell.
Well, this really hits home. My sons and I were just having a conversation about not the sex aspect of this, but I think it is really important to talk about these kinds of things with respect to, like, people with disabilities, different races of kids. We were at Lions Park yesterday and saw one of the students I work with at East who is has a significant disability. And we talked about, hey, you know, when your friends, you know, maybe want to pick on a kid, what would you do in that kind of situation? So I think these kind of rehearsals are just so important in all aspects of parenting.
I wholeheartedly agree with you that, you know, all the different aspects of life that your kids are going to come, you know, in contact with, whether it be somebody that looks a little different, acts a little different, you know, any situation they might come into, the more we can, again, talk with them ahead of time and rehearse with them and, you know, and again, instill the values that the family has in the child as they're growing up is so important.
Which really puts a lot of responsibility in listening to you doctors and even what Jessica brought up. It goes back to we have to build a good communication line with our kids at an early age. We can't wait until they're teenagers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in our book at Family Centered Parenting, we have a whole chapter on effective communication principles. And we go through some principles that parents need to follow. We give a lot of examples how to use them. But that's the foundation of building the relationship with your kids, avoiding confrontation, and being able to transmit those values and things that are really important in a family. There's another thing we recommend that kind of global is we believe early in the family meeting process, a family should come up with its own mission and vision statement about who they are as a family. And that embodies the general values. So as your caller mentioned, in fact, about treating people with disabilities or differences, if in your family vision you say, as a family, we respect and recognize the value of other people regardless of differences, it's already part of who your family is. You've identified that that's an important principle for all members of the family.
And another thing we have to think of, too, doctors, I believe, is ladies or women tend to be a little bit more relationship-centered, not in all cases, but in general, than some of the guys do. And so I think dads are going to need to step up to the plate and be a team player in this role also, instead of just waiting around for mom to do it all. Wouldn't you say so, Dr. Jane?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that's a whole other piece that a section that we have in the book is the importance of fathers. Because without fathers involved in the family, the balance is not there. Mothers bring a certain energy to the family. Fathers bring another energy to the family. And having them work together is so important.
And, Gary, as you mentioned, you're absolutely right. The one thing dads have to work on is those communication skills because it doesn't come as natural to them as it does to the gals. So dads need to be very mindful to be really good listeners.
And you help
with men. We're the fix-it guys. We like to solve the problem and fix it. And we don't always listen carefully before
Bingo.
We try to fix it. So yes. I think with our kids, we have to remember to validate, listen to what they say before we jump in with solutions.
Absolutely. And even acknowledge what they say in a lot of places. You know, a lot of people, whether it's men or women, can take a real accelerated situation. And just by acknowledging the other person's issue or their gripe or their frustration, it kind of begins to disarm them to where they can listen. Because if we're just talking and nobody's listening, then all we're doing is talking.
Right. The person needs to know that they've been heard. Doesn't mean that you're agreeing with what they're saying or agreeing, you know, with how upset they are, but you're acknowledging that you're hearing what they're saying, you're acknowledging that they are upset, and you're so right, Gary, that then that kind of can already begin to diffuse the situation, and then you can have a dialogue.
And one of the things we find with parents is we have to remind them that being good listeners and validating what your kid is telling you doesn't mean you're agreeing and giving up your authority as a parent.
That's
so
right.
We really reinforce that a lot, because a lot of parents, oh my God, if I validate somehow, I'm not the authority figure.
Dr. Richard, yeah, exactly. Great point. And Dr. Jane and Richard Horowitz, we really appreciate you folks being on. This discussion could have gone on a lot longer, but if we want to carry on the discussion, what's a good website we can go to contact you?
Just go to growinggreatrelationships.com.
Perfect.
Lots of information and how to contact us right there.
Growinggreatrelationships.com. Pick up a book of Family-Centered Parenting, 2011, probably at your any bookstore or on the website. Dr. Jane, Dr. Richard Horowitz, thanks for being on Across America today. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you. And when we return, we'll be talking to our chef, our Cajun chef.